Good morning, everyone. Technology is working today. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's interesting what is going on in the Middle East and the things that are happening unprecedentedly in our time at this moment in time. And it's both interesting, but also things we need to pray about, and particularly in the Middle East with the situation in Yemen and its attacks on the UAE, and also the building up of problems for Israel. And we know what Scripture says, that all the nations are focusing on Israel and will indeed be against Israel in the final part. And certainly with the situation in Ukraine and Russia, we need to watch that and pray about that situation. We don't know what will happen, whether there will be an invasion or not, we don't know. But anyway, we've got the Word of God, and God is working out His purposes, and we need to be obedient to Him and to follow Him in His Word. Let's just bring this time to the Lord and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the fact that You have everything under control. We thank You that this morning that there's nothing that is outside Your control. And Lord, we have that confidence this morning that we know we can put our trust in You, because You're working all things out together for good. For each one of us, we're called by Your name, but also for the things that are happening in the world. And Lord, we know that You are in control, and we thank You for that, and we rejoice in that this morning. And Lord, as we come to Your Word, we come to read Your Word this morning, we pray that You will illuminate it to our hearts, and that we may take from this place and be as a different people as a result. Lord, we look to You because You're the only one that can illuminate Your Word. You're the only one that can speak to our hearts this morning. We look to You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But that I Fly Away, I seem to think, was Jim Reeves. Jim Reeves' songs. This is, okay. It may well be. I just seem to have it in my brain. It was Jim Reeves who sang it. Anyway, let's turn to the Scriptures, shall we? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to look at the whole of this chapter, but we're not going to expound the whole chapter, you'll be pleased to know. I'm just going to take part of it. But I want to read the whole chapter this morning so we get the feel of it. Okay. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of what remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, we read verse 22, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a ghost. And they feared, cried out of fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come. And when Jesus was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Well, we have some accounts here. First, the record of the death of John the Baptist by beheading under the rule of Herod in verses 1 to 12 there. And we know from chapter 14 that he had been imprisoned at the request of Herodias. And we read in verse 8, So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, Give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. It was also a time of celebration at the time of Herod's birthday, and this was traditionally celebrated with a lot of pomp and ceremony. In fact, Mark's Gospel adds to this by saying that it was a supper for Herod, lords and high captains and lieutenants, if you like. That is, those commanders who led divisions of 1,000 people or more, and all the others who held high office were there at the time of this celebration. Then we have the account of we see God the great provider in the feeding of the 5,000 in verses 13 to 21. Not only does God show us that he's providing them with physical food in this marvelous miracle, but it also illustrates to us that Jesus is the bread of life and that we feed from him, and he is our spiritual food. And we see that this feeding from the 5,000, this miracle took place at Bethsaida and happened just before Passover, we're told. And it's true that in this example, Jesus takes what little we have and makes it greater. You know, verse 18, it says there, he said, Bring them here to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes. And so they all ate and were filled, and took up the 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. And those that who had eaten, it says, were about 5,000 men and women and children. a tremendous miracle that happened there. God takes the small things that we have and makes them greater. Well, secondly, he blesses. He blesses what he breaks. He blesses the bread, then he breaks it. The question is this morning to our hearts, how willing are we to allow God to break us, to mold us so that we can work, so that he can work through us what he wills and wants. Through as he did with his, as he did the disciples, he can do the same through us today. But are we willing? Are we willing to allow God to break us, to bend us, to mold us into that image, to be conformed to that image that he wants us to be? Thirdly, we see the people in verse 15 are contaminated by sin, and they need Christ to forgive and take away their sin and to be restored to the relationship with Christ. We see there, fourthly, that the disciples came with excuses. Look, it's getting late. We are getting tired of the crowds. Let them go and find their own food. Verse 15b, but Jesus in contrast tells the disciples, verse 16, no, you feed the crowd. He was practical. He saw the need and he met the need and he provided the food by this divine power and can still do the same today in our situations. But we also have a God who brings security. We see that this is a big issue here with the crowd control. There's multitudes and thousands of people here who had been fed, and there was a danger that it was all possibly going to get out of control. And John 6 verse 15 explains why he sent the crowds away. That those who had been fed were wanting to make him king. And now we come to verses 22 to 33, and I want to concentrate on this morning. These verses here. First we see Jesus telling the disciples to get into the boat and row away from the shore to the other side. And recognizing the distance, I think Barnes comments in his commentary about 7.5 Jewish furlongs, which equates to about 1 mile. So the distance they had sailed would be around 4 miles. He sent them away possibly because that would help them calm the situation, but also gave the disciples time to think about what had just taken place. The great miracle of the thousands being five feeding of the 5,000 with just the loaves and two fishes. A great miracle. And then he deals with the crowd and sends them away, we see Jesus doing. And the next thing he does is he sends the mountain or hill alone and prays. And this shows to us this morning how important, even in spite of the great miraculousness of what God had done on this occasion with the feeding of the 5,000, he needed to go away and to pray, to be alone with the Father, to be alone, getting away alone in a place to pray. And we need to do that. We need to spend that extra time with the Lord in prayer, to be commune with him, to spend time with him. That will keep us humble, recognizing that it is God who works in us and through us, and we can't take the glory for it. Verse 24, there was an immediate danger. The boat the disciples were in was in the middle of the sea, being hit by that storm we read about here, being pitched severely by the waves. We read it was during the fourth watch, which would have been, if we take the Roman watches that are done in maritime methods, it would be about 3 and 6 in the morning would be the fourth watch, certainly the morning watch. Then trouble hit the boat. And this is where we see God, the God of security and of protection, coming. Jesus is then seen walking on the sea towards them. Could you imagine? In the middle of the night on this fourth watch, in the middle of this storm, Jesus is walking, maybe the 4 miles, I don't know, walking across the water towards them. And it says the natural reaction, they thought it was a ghost, they thought it was a phantom, they thought it was something from outer space, if you like. The divine power of God walking, overcoming the elements, the natural elements of the sea, and divinely intervening in the situation. And God, in times of fear and in distress, can intervene in each one of our lives and circumstances. I'd like to encourage you this morning, if you're going through a tough time at the moment, and be assured of this morning, that God has not forgotten you. He has not deserted you. In fact, He's right beside you in the storm of life. And if we remain faithful and we put our trust in Him and we seek Him, He will bring you through the storm to a place of victory and triumph. So the disciples thought this was a ghost. And Matthew 14 verse 26 it says, "And when the disciples saw this walking on the sea, they were troubled, and they cried out in fear." And verse 27 says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Spurgeon writes in his commentary, "He who rules the tempest is not the devil, not chance, not a malicious enemy, but Jesus. And this should end all our fear." Peter, we read in verse 28, wanted to make sure. He doubted it was Jesus. He questioned it. He wanted further proof. And here's a beautiful example that Jesus teaches Peter and shows us today. Peter challenges Jesus to prove that he was Jesus, the one who had earlier fed the 5,000. And in verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus told him, "Come." So Peter, we are told, in faith, got out of the boat and started walking towards Jesus. He had the faith to believe that Jesus, if it was Jesus, that he would be able to walk on the water. But Peter says, "If it is you, if it is you." But when he looks down at the storm and the situation of what was happening around him, he focused on that and not on Jesus. And what happened? He began to sink. "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." He started off well. He challenged Jesus. Jesus told him to come. And he started off well. He put his legs and feet over the side of the boat and had the faith that it was really Jesus. It would be a miracle being performed. And the lesson for us today, this morning, is this. Do not be as Peter, focusing on the problems and the situation or the circumstances, because that will cause you to fear and will destroy your fellowship with God. But focus on Jesus Christ this morning. That is what Peter did. Jesus said, "Come." Peter heard the word and he obeyed. And Romans 10 verse 17 tells us, "So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God." But Peter forgot what Jesus had said. In Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Peter began to sink because he had taken his eyes of Jesus. And Jesus and what he had told him to do, and focused on the storm and the waves and the wind and everything that was wrong around him. But notice something beautiful here. And that is, Peter's faith was tested and it failed at that point, but Jesus was still consistent in his love towards Peter. He hadn't forsaken him, though he had failed in the test. And we read in verse 30, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me!" And that might be our cry this morning. And it seems to be the whole cry of the whole of humanity throughout the world this morning, is crying out, "Save us! Save us from economic disaster. Save us from the next pandemic. Save us from environmental catastrophe that could wipe us all off the planet." The cry of the whole world this morning is saying, "Save me! Save us!" And Jesus hears Peter's cry and tells us in verses 31 and 32, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus immediately acted. He actively stretched forth his hand towards Peter and caught him. What a beautiful picture of our Lord's care and protection for each one of us. When we face the severest storms of life and the waves seem to be covering us and we cannot see a way forward or back, we must focus on Jesus. We must trust on Jesus, the one who can still the storm, the one that reaches out his hand as with Peter did and holds us through above the storms of life and brings us to the victory. But we must fix our eyes upon Jesus, not the storm, whatever it may be in our lives. And the whole story goes through here, right through the whole point of the hymn writer, who William J. Kirkpatrick, who wrote that great hymn, "Will Your Anchor Hold?" And it says these words: "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold the wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the sea billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm deep in the Saviour's love." And that other tremendous hymn by the hymn writer Horatio Spafford. The Spaffords were supporters and friends of the evangelist Dwight L. Moody. And on November the 22nd, 1873, we know this, I think most of us know the story, while crossing the Atlantic on the steamship Villa de Hawaii, the ship was struck by an iron sailing vessel, killing 226 people, including all of the four of the Spafford's daughters: Annie, aged 12, Maggie, 7, Bessie, 4, and an 18-month-old baby. His wife, Anna, survived the tragedy, and upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to Spafford that read, "Saved alone." And as Spafford sailed to England to join his wife, he wrote, "It is well with my soul." The words he penned were these: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." And the chorus is, "It is well. It is well with my soul." All through the storm of life and our situations, Jesus is right by your side. In the times of adversity, in the times of darkness, In the times when we don't see a way forward and we don't know specific direction, just as with Peter, he holds out his hand and he says, come, I will lead you the path that you can't see. I will take you the places that you don't know are dark, maybe dark, maybe maybe stormy, but I am here. Jesus says, I am with you always, will never leave you nor forsake you. And if this morning it is true to you that you've never given your life and heart to Jesus Christ, you can never point to a time when you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin, to repent from your sin and to turn to him, and to know in assurance that there is a heaven, but there also is a hell. And you need to know this morning, you need to make that decision this morning for him. If you've never made that decision, don't leave this place without making that decision, because all of this won't apply to you. You won't have the peace like a river that the hymn writer wrote in those words. It only comes by fixing your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, and although the loss of the family, she was able to pen that great hymn. And then verses 32 to 33. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Jesus calms the storm. And verse 33, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. What a wonderful miracle. What a marvelous situation where Jesus demonstrates his power and the people in the boat say, truly, you are the Son of God. The disciples had their knowledge and faith expanded. They had grown in their knowledge and faith and now knew that Jesus was truly the Son of God. They'd seen it with evidence. Remember this morning, God is with you in the storm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you provided the way for us to be cleansed of sin, to be forgiven, and Lord, for our relationship to be made right with you this morning. We thank you for the illustration that we have here of that divine power where you still the sea in the ship, Lord. And Lord, as a result, then he came to know you. And ultimately, you were led to death because of it. But Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We pray that, Lord, we may ever fix our eyes upon you, that we will move not to the left nor to the right, nor to the up or down, but we will fix our eyes centered upon you. Because, Lord, as it was with Peter, we know that, Lord, when we have our faith fixed upon you, then we can walk and you can accomplish that which you want within us. Lord, give us the faith, give us the truth, give us the reality of this, Lord, we pray. And in each one of our lives, may we, Lord, be conformed more and more to your image, day by day, as we seek you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bless you.